on. We got Calaveras out there, G23 in the house early as well. DJ played nice. Mr. Sanchez in the house. Honcho's out there. Rod with the gun cleaners in the house too. And yeah, hopefully they'll be stacking deep before it's all over with. I've got my YouTube up and I'm not showing anything right now. So let me refresh this. Yes.
I've got the chat popped up. I don't have the actual live stream going. So
yeah. So this is interesting. So is the live stream going? I hate to ask this because people ask this all the time and go, are we live? Are we live? But are we live? Because YouTube's not playing here. So there we go. Okay. I got it up. So
got the notification. So
good Lord. Okay. I refreshed a couple times. It popped up. So we're good. Yeah. Just want to know if everybody out there is hearing us, but apparently they are. So that's awesome. We are going to do a little giveaway here later on. I got one of the ever elusive Baby Yoda AK patches, and that's not going to focus because my autofocus don't work. But you could tell that's Baby Yoda, even though it's blurry. And if you're in audio replay, then you're just going to take my word for it. But, yeah, hang around. We'll talk about that here a little later. Going to have some Monday trivia. It's normally what we do. And, yeah, let's kick the party off. We're not but a couple minutes in. We've got an hour of rambling, carrying on, talking about whatever you guys want to talk about. Send us down rabbit holes, whatever.
I don't know if you and I can go strict this an hour. I don't know if we can do that or not.
No, I don't think so. We've got a track record of not doing so well, right? So Wes jumped in. What's up, Wes? Defense Dad out there, Midnight Range TM, RTAC in the house too. So yeah, my guest, who's not really a guest because we do Ghost and Clover all the time. Unofficially, I guess that's what this is. It's Ghost. What's happening, bro?
Not much, man. Thanks for the invite. And yeah, I just got off work not too long ago. So made it home and we're ready to go.
Budget goes the gear jumping in out there. I've eventually got to get Budget on. You're the first person to be on twice since we went to the new format. So, but I had some issues
schedule's so weird though. You can't really know what his schedule is half the time, you know?
Right. Yeah. And, Calaveras out there was supposed to come on. I know I see RTAC, Defense Dad, Honcho. If any of you guys get with me, on email, G23's already been on. He was on a few weeks ago. Rod is welcome with the gun cleaners. If anybody wants to hang out on a Monday, let me know and I'll get you added to the list. Right now, the list is short. And that's all I'm going to say about being short. No more jokes. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of rant a little bit about a comment I got. So I did the video with that Rock Island Armory shotgun with the slugs. Joe is shooting gallery and he's out there. What's up, Joe? And so, I mean, getting plenty of views, getting plenty of comments. We've got the previous video on that shotgun as well. Haven't really had to deal with troll comments or anything else. I get a guy that comments today, and he started out talking smack because I was shooting offhand instead of rested, using a shotgun with slugs. And he's like, what's the point of that? And I said, well, the point is, if at 40 yards with a smoothbore shotgun, I can group, get 2 and 3 inch groups with slugs out of a smoothbore shotgun offhand, then obviously if you're rested on a deer blind or something like that, you're probably going to do better, right? Mm-hmm. That's the point. Well, that wasn't good enough for him. So he come back with, well, you can't tell anything within 3 rounds. So I was like, okay, dude, look forward to your video. Oh, by the way, good luck finding ammunition for that. That was my comment. I left it. Wasn't gonna get into that. Wasn't going to feed the troll any more than that because no matter what I said, apparently it wasn't going to make this dude happy. He had a better way of doing it, a better way of testing it.
Of course.
I don't know what more people want. And here's the thing here. And you and I both know this to be true. If I would have done that test from arrest, I would have gotten some other jack wagon said, why are you doing it for West? Why aren't you shooting it offhand?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, does it really freaking matter?
I like the idea of going offhand with that, because if you can get decent groupings offhand, then obviously we know the groupings are going to get a little bit tighter if you've got a rest or you've got something to stabilize that barrel or the rifle. So, I mean, sure. If I'm doing a test, I want to give the hardest part, because we know that other things are going to get better and better and better. So if you're testing, you know, why wouldn't you go offhand? Just so we know that, hey, if you're going offhand unsupported, you're going to get decent groups. Now imagine what you would get if you were going supported. That only makes sense to me.
If we're talking about an accuracy battle video, one versus the other,
that's a whole different issue.
I bring the rest to the play. But if we're talking about review on a firearm and what you can expect from this, you're right. Why not use the higher coefficient, right?
So let me ask you this. Is that a blue shirt you're wearing, or is that just your shoulder still black and blue from all the slugs?
This is a blue shirt. This was a birthday present from my wife.
Ah, I like it.
So was it from my wife? Yeah, from my wife. Just say my daughter got me one of my daughters, my youngest daughter. Just got it today. You know the little aliens from Toy Story? Ooh, sure. The claw. Yeah, it's the aliens from Toy Story.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's by the way, happy birthday. I know it was a good day for it. I think you and Big Tony, man. Alfie's birthday was Saturday. Yours and Tony's was yesterday. So yeah, it's a good weekend.
And I've got a brother. His is the day before mine.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm fairly certain, just knowing both of you, you guys have to be twins. I mean, you have to be twins.
No.
No. Okay. No, it's worth a try.
No. No, okay. Not at all. So I'm not my brother.
No, you and Tony.
Big Tony.
You and Big Tony have got
we could be twins, but it would be like the movie. Definitely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what was that Schwarzenegger and DeVito?
I would be more the Danny DeVito one, I think, probably. I'd be the reject in that thing. Tony's a big old dude.
He's a big old
I would hate to have had to share a womb with Big Tony. You know what I mean? Because that would have been a little tiny corner of the uterus, you know, the funny thing is
a couple of weeks ago on the Marine Corps birthday show, Tony was on there and he lost 100 pounds in boot camp. He went at like 225 and came out at 125. Can you imagine? Cause all we know Tony is Big Tony.
Right.
I can't even imagine knowing Tony at 125 pounds. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's insane. It is. Warsaw out there. What's up, Warsaw? I don't know.
I like Vince Dad's birthday message out there.
Where was it? I didn't see it. How high up was it? It was the last one. His birthday's coming up in December, in case anyone is curious. His size is 7'6", 2x39. Good luck with that. All I gotta say. Same thing I told the troll earlier with ammo. Good luck with that. I've been trying to find... some turkey loads, because I've got a shotgun it'll be here any day now. It's one of them things where, you know, the way it is, they say they're going to send it and then who knows. And so hopefully I can find a couple of boxes of turkey load before it gets here, but man, you can't even find turkey load. How crappy is that?
Yeah. DJ, his is in the December. He says 30-06 or an ACOG at this point. I'm not sure which is going to be a better price, the ACOG or 30-06.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
Midnight says his is in December. So, but he'll be realistic. He'll take the cash equivalent. Yeah.
I would too. Absolutely.
Iron Horseman out there. What's up, bro? Warsaw says, was saying that I was told by a family member of mine that when you're aiming at your target, keep shooting at your last shots on paper. You agree with this method. Yeah, if you want tighter, groups, no.
What's he saying?
I don't understand what he's saying. He says, what I was saying, I was told by a family member of mine that when you're aiming at your target, keep shooting at your last shots on paper. You agree with this method. And my camera just screwed up. Go figure. No, not aiming at your last shot. You don't want to chase your shots.
Keep at the same aim point.
Because if you're aiming center and for whatever reason you're hitting high right and you move high right, you're going to be shooting higher right.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be shooting more high and more right. So if you're looking for groups, you need a consistent point of aim. Don't worry about your point of impact. Consistent point of aim.
Yep.
And a lot of people get those confused. It's a great topic, something we can talk about with point of aim versus point of impact. You know, you get a firearm that has, you know, you got Kentucky Windage. They talk about it all the time. You get a firearm that's got non-adjustable sights. And unless you can tweak a load or find a load that firearm works to shoot, you know, a close enough point of aim and point of impact, then you're going to have to hold. You're going to have to hold low left or low right or whatever it might be. What I call the lollipop a lot of times, which you raise that front sight up just a hair. Where it kind of looks like a lollipop, you know?
Yeah. You know, when it comes to, it sounds weird, but when it comes to like red dots, optics, you have 100-yard zero, whatever you've zeroed, you know, your dot at, that is not always point of aim, point of impact as well. Let's say you have a 100-yard zero or a 50-yard zero. Well, if you're only 25 yards away, your point of aim will not be point of impact because that trajectory is going to be much lower. So you almost have to aim about six, you know, inches high. You have to know. And so what you're talking about is point of aim, point of impact, Kentucky Windage, whatever you want to call it. You need to know what your holds are for different distances. And it sounds crazy. And it may not make a huge difference. We're talking a matter of 3 to 6 inches at the absolute most on a lot of things. But if you're looking to get precise groupings in the center of a target, you need to know what holds are. And a lot of people don't think about holds very often, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, in Warsaw and I, not to pick on Warsaw because I love him, but we got into it in a side chat the other night about this whole slugs thing because it come up about slugs for home defense.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, they're just not accurate enough. You can't, just can't be. And I'm like, I'm shooting 3-inch groups at max, 3-inch groups at 40 yards, 3-inch groups.
Instead of 21 feet.
How is that not good enough for home defense? Seriously. And we're talking about a 1-ounce freaking slug. Now, the drawback to a slug, the conversation, it may have been in Rich's chat or G23 or one of them. Yeah. And the conversation was revolving around more around the Civil War, civil unrest type scenario. And no, I mean, yes, I do have slug shotguns, slug barrels, rifled barrels, and I can shoot slugs. Shoot touching holes basically at 150 yards with a couple of those, but I would never do that. I would never trust that in any type of situation like that at that kind of distance. Even though I can do that now, I would take potentially take game with that, take a shot at an animal or something with that for sure. But I'm not going to be shooting 150 yards in a self-defense situation. So who cares? 3 inches. If you could do this with a handgun or whatever else you've got. That's all you need. And people get this mindset, whether it's hunting or it's self-defense, whether whatever it might be. Heck, I helped my dad clean a deer today, and I'm going to throw him under the bus. Bless his heart. He's killed more deer than I'll ever kill in my lifetime. And I'm surprised. He said he shot the doe. This was a doe. He said he shot her. And she took about 3 steps and kneeled down, and it was done. Yeah. And he hit that deer, you know, the sweet spot right behind the shoulder, you know. He hit that deer probably a foot behind that area at about 3 or 4 inches high. And was dragging it out of the truck, and I'm like, good Lord, could you have took a worse, had a worse shot, you know. And he's like, oh, man, my gun's off. And I'm like, Dad, your gun is not off. Every time you come down to the range telling me that your gun is off, I pick it up, I shoot it. I'm nailing 6-inch steel easily at 75 yards. You get on a bench, you shoot it, you hit the same steel. It's not off. You had a bad shot. But even with that, right? And we're talking about 50 yard shot or something like that's what it was, according to him. Three steps and she drops, you know? So this idea that it's shots on target, and shots on target as long as you can get something vital, you know?
Yeah. And I don't hunt, so I can't really give a whole lot. But in the same thing with handguns is when I'm working with someone, teaching someone or whatever, especially if they're inexperienced, young, not age young, but young as experienced shooters, most of them are so worried about hitting a target. I said, look, I'll put a B-52, which is a silhouette target. And I said, if you're at, 10 yards, which is actually outside of what the FBI says is a home defense distance, if you're at 10 yards and you can empty your magazine consistently inside the silhouette, does it matter if it's right there?
Right.
To me, it doesn't matter. You're trying to stop a threat. So if you're trying to stop a threat, then anywhere in that silhouette is going to stop that threat. Same thing in hunting is, I don't know all the intricacies about that, but if you're supposed to take it here and you shoot it there, but three steps later that deer's down, mm-hmm. It's an effective shot. So right. I think people get too worked up on groupings and they get too worked up on being precision. Mm-hmm. A very small part of the gun community are precision shooters. Most of the time you're talking about an effective shooter, you know?
Right. Budget out there is talking about over penetration would be a concern with slugs, for home defense. Depends on the slug. One of the things that you have to realize, I mean, with slugs, that's why when you're talking about distance, not the greatest, but with slugs, you don't have a really high velocity. The energy is coming from the mass. And because you've got that mass, nearly 3/4 inch in diameter and then however long that thing is, that's surface area on top of that. So you've got a massive amount of surface area that's displacing that energy. Mm-hmm. And a slug is able to dump energy really, really quick. Now, if you've got a rapid expanding slug, if you've got a soft lead slug, it's able to deform, expand, and basically dump even more of that energy. And so over penetration is not as bad as it might seem. An ideal shot, if you were talking home defense, I would say would be high chest. You've got that rib cage, you've got that sternum, right? And that's going to, man, it's going to dump energy like a mofo, man. If you go high chest with it, for sure. Now if you gut shot down low, something like that, maybe not. But yeah. I mean, if you hit a limb with a 12 gauge slug home defense, you're liable to take a limb off.
Yep. I know that we used slugs when we were doing CQB, but we weren't caring about over penetration at that point. But we used slugs for two reasons. Three or four, but two main reasons. One, you could breach a deadbolt with a slug very, very easily. But two, if they happen to be wearing armor, body plates or armor, a slug will be still very, very effective against body armor. So,
you talking about knock the wind out of you.
That will do some. You'll probably want to hope that thing goes through because thing can knock you on your ass.
Well, it's the energy. And a lot of people don't realize that. They don't equate the two because the velocity is so slow. But when you factor in the mass and you calculate the energy, and I've done this, I did it, alluded to it in that video, you're talking about 308, 30-06 type of an energy dump within 10 yards, 20 yards, 40 yards. I mean, that's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Well, and you're talking about because of the surface area, not only are you talking about the same amount of energy, but you're talking about it dumping it quicker because of the larger surface area.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking shotguns, shotguns real quick, and you're talking about the 30 inch spread, depending on what choke you're using, it's going to be 15 yards, 20, 25, up to about what, 35 yards, depending on.
If you're talking some type of shot.
Yeah, I'm talking shot. Yeah, I'm not talking slug. I'm talking shot here. Yeah. I should have mentioned that. Yeah. With shot, you know, you're going anywhere from what, 15 yards to about 35 yards to get that 30 inch spread. Well, here's the thing. If you don't know what choke you're using, then you could be getting a spread like that, or it could be way too much. So if you're good with shotguns, if you're using shot, you know, make sure that you know, especially for home defense, they do have shot home defense. I think Hornady has some, maybe Winchester. They've got home defense shot shells.
Right.
But make sure you understand what choke you have on your shotgun. Just don't go grabbing a shotgun and throw a shell in there and say, I'm good to go, because, you know. So the reason why I brought that up is, let's say you're using shot. And I know it's going to differ on what shot you're using and all that. But if you're using a home defense shot in a 12 gauge and you're going to try to go at, let's say, a 10 to 15 yard distance of shot, what kind of choke should you set your shotgun up for home defense in? You know, what choke would you use to set that up for about a 15 yard? Because you're are you really looking for a 30 inch spread at that point?
Probably full choke is for home defense, for, you know, self-defense. Full choke to me is the best bet.
Okay.
And that's just my opinion. If you're going to ask me, and you want an answer, right? Gun to my head, you got to have an answer. The actual answer to that is, everybody needs to go out, get you some butcher paper, some of that. You can get a big old roll of it at Walmart, or the craft paper, like a paper sack, and set, you know, put you a little round circle in the middle of it, just kind of a point of aim of some sort. And, you know, step back, get back 3 yards, 5 yards, 10 yards, all the way back to, you know, even 25, 30 yards, something like that. And pattern, because not all shotguns and not all chokes are going to pattern the same. Some are going to pattern a little high, a little low. They may go wide. It all depends.
There's anything with that choke is going to change the pattern. So it could be, you know, something else. But the reason why I was saying that is, you know, you're not necessarily looking, at least I wouldn't be looking for a 30 inch spread for home defense. You know what I'm saying? So you could really go, I mean, I don't know. You're saying a full choke is what you would probably prefer. So at a full choke is probably going to get you about what size of a spread, let's say, at 10 yards.
Not much at all.
Right? Yeah, like that.
Four inch, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's going to be okay for home defense, you know?
Assuming that the quality of the ammunition, whether or not you have a flyer, various other factors. Sure. What's weird is, when I ran the buckshot through this Rock Island shotgun, I think I was at 25 yards. I have to go back and watch the video. I don't even remember now. It was more or less a horizontal grouping. It was really weird. I mean, they were up and down, but instead of them being like this, you know, around the target, there was a definitive, like, horizontal, almost like a street sweeper effect with it. It was really weird. And I was using full choke with that. So it makes me wonder, and I haven't done it yet, but I want to go out, put the modified choke in, and see what it gets. That's what I'm telling you. It may actually do a better pattern with a modified choke than the full choke. The full choke may be too much constriction, and so it's allowing one of those to bounce before it goes out, bounce wrong, come out wrong, whatever, and maybe they're colliding with each other when they're coming out. Something weird that's throwing them off like that.
Shotguns, I've got them all set up with the modified. The modified is with the old three notch choke. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've got on mine.
No, modified is.
Modified, I thought it was three.
Yeah. Modified. Improved modified is two.
Right. Yeah. And so I think I put all mine on the modified. Anyways.
Yeah.
You're talking to me about shotguns is kind of ironic here, you know?
Yeah. 45 ACP. I seen him jump out there at Hera. He's got a good comment. TJ's in the house, and here it says, I don't want to get hit with a 22 with plates on, much less a slug. Granted, the 22 is much easier to handle than a slug with plates on, but neither would be fun.
No matter what you get hit with.
If I had full body plates, I might agree to being a guinea pig for getting hit with a 22. Just because I know what 22 does to even
you the mildest of that steel. Nothing was going to get hit
right.
at all.
Right. I would have a complete suit of armor, you know, that not nothing
one
gets
thing could ever get
guaranteed. Nothing gets through, you know, to skin. All I'm feeling is the energy dump. That would be interesting. I would almost agree to that. Just so everybody knows, in case there's somebody out there with an armor company that can make that happen, I'm your guy. Because that would be interesting. I don't think, just knowing how 22 reacts, shot a lot of 22 at a lot of things, and knowing how it reacts even on the mildest of steel, I don't know. I don't know that it would be, I don't know that it'd be that bad, quite honestly.
Yeah.
So Warsaw was say it up here. I think it was him. He was talking about some optics. He said, what reticles and reticle colors do you use and prefer yourself? He's a green dot person with the outer circle. For me, it completely depends on what I'm doing. I tend to pick up on the red easier than the green. And that has to do, we see colors differently. I'm just used to picking up on the red. I've trained, practiced, I guess you could say, with red, because they had red long before they had green. And so I'm just used to picking it up. Now, if I'm shooting fast transition, something like speed steel or steel challenge, I like the circle with the dot. It gives me the dot for a center, you know, that point of impact, that center, but it also gives me the circle to pick it up quicker and for speed and transition. So I do like that. As far as a reticle, like a crosshair style reticle, a T style reticle, 30-30 reticle, duplex reticle, something like that that's lighted, I don't care for those at all, to be honest with you. I'd rather it be black than lighted. Yeah. That's just me.
Yep. I like 90% of the time I'll run red. Sometimes I'll run green. It all depends on lighting. It sounds weird, but lighting of the day, sometimes the red and greens will pick up differently with depends on the time of day and all of that. Most of the time I like red. My favorite reticle is the circle dot. I don't like the crosshair. It's just me. I never have liked the crosshair reticle. So I'll either go a dot or a circle dot, and that's mine. But most of the time it's red, but there are certain things that I'll go green. I'll tell you one thing that's out there that is pretty cool. And there's most of them, I would say the vast majority of the major brands that are doing dots right now, at least we'll have one option for this, but a lot of them are going with yellow, because yellow apparently, talk with the Holosun people, apparently yellow is a color that even colorblind people can pick up. So they'll give you an option of red, green, yellow. They'll throw that yellow in there, or maybe just they might take green. It might be red and yellow, or green and yellow, but they're going to give that yellow option because apparently for colorblind, they can still pick up that reticle.
Well, it's interesting you say that. The Metrigicon ACOG that's on my FAL is amber.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of like an orangish yellow, you know.
Yeah, right. It's more of an orange. Probably,
I wonder if that is.
Well, it's foreverly old. I mean, it's old school, not like first gen ACOG. So from back like in the '90s, maybe, or I don't even know. Definitely older. Yeah. So yeah, just to let everybody know, stick around. Gonna give away a Baby Yoda AK patch there, and no, it doesn't focus well, I know, but you get an idea. So Warsaw's talking about a shotgun. He says he's definitely thinking of getting a shotgun in the future. However, for shotguns, you have to change the barrel for use for slugs and birdshot, or do some come with barrels that are universal for shot or slugs? Mostly heard that you have to change the barrels for different casings of birdshot, buckshot, and slug. Okay. So, if you go smoothbore, you can fire anything you want. The sky's the limit. So you can fire slugs through a smoothbore just fine. Smoothbore is what you're going to want for shot, not a rifled barrel, right? If you've got a rifled barrel, it's going to put a twist, and when you throw a twist on that shot column, it's going to go like a tornado. It's going to go all over the place. It's going to screw it up. So if you buy a rifled barrel, that's a slug gun, right? And yes, you would want a smoothbore barrel to go on it if you were going to bird hunt or buckshot or something like that. But if you just get your standard old smoothbore shotgun, you can run slugs in that all day long. The only thing you need to be careful with is certain slugs you can't run through certain chokes. So you want to read the box or check with the manufacturer and make sure that that's the case. Most slugs out there will at least run through a modified choke. Most, but that's a disclaimer that, again, check the box and make sure. Some of them you can even run through a full choke now. They're designing them that way. But again, needs to be smoothbore in order to do that. Now, because you're not getting that spin on the slug like you would any other projectile with a rifled barrel, then obviously your distance and your accuracy over distance is going to suffer because of that. But as proven in that video, you're going to be able to get 2- and 3-inch groups at 40 yards fairly easy with it. So it depends on what kind of accuracy you're looking for at that point.
Most definitely.
So run down here.
DJ Play Nice was saying Browning A5 or the Remington 870. Remington 870 is a great shotgun for a really good price. I've got a Mossberg 500 that I really am a big fan of, and it's not going to break the bank as well. So,
they say it, Keith Gregory jumped in, by the way. So what's up, Keith? And if I'm missing you out there, or if you're out there and you haven't said, hey, and participate in the chat, that's why it's there. What do we have? Oh, Warsaw, says, he was probably going to go with a pump or a semi-auto. I would suggest, very first shotgun going semi-auto. I mean, going pump.
What did you say?
Go pump. Sorry. We were at the, was at the gun shop last weekend. A guy had bought an HK shotgun, a Fab Arms, pretty nice little shotgun, but a little tactical model. I don't know the barrel length, maybe 20-inch, but pistol grip. It was cool. And he brought it back, and he had some of the cheapest of cheap Winchester Universal birdshot that he was trying to run through the shotgun. And it was a semi-auto. And I'm like, okay, hang on a minute. And it just so happened I had a couple of boxes from testing this Rock Island of high brass Fiocchi birdshot. And I said, I bet you you're going to have to run high brass loads through that with it being semi-auto. And took it out there and tried a couple of low brass that I had just to see. And it wouldn't cycle. And I was like, okay, now let's try this. And I threw a couple of those high brass in there, and it cycled and ran fine. So you're going to be able to use a lot larger variety of shells and ammunition if you go pump. And so, yeah, that's exactly what I've got.
That's really good stuff right there.
And that's apparently what – did Rock Island send you that?
I have some of that left. I've got like 2 or 3 boxes left over from my testing of them.
Yeah, that's what they sent me for this one.
This is really good stuff, though. It's definitely high velocity.
And that's probably why they send that, because you got the semi-autos. That's probably why that's the one they choose to send, is because they know that'll work in pretty much anything they offer. Yeah. But, so that's why my suggestion would be that. G23 out there says, my opinions on the Taurus TX22. Now, Artak and Daughters out there said he's just got a tabletop review out on that. He likes it so far. I don't have a lot of experience with it. What I've what experience I have with it, I'm going to say it's no Glock 44, but it's also half the price or something like that. But I don't have anything necessarily negative to say. And I haven't heard a lot of negatives, to be quite honest, from other people. Artex says he likes it. I know Gizzard Gary has one. I'm trying to think of the other folks out there. I think Rich 1911 has got one he's worked with. I don't get any love from Taurus, so I haven't been sent one. So I've just played with other people's run a mag or something like that through it. And that's about it.
Yeah, I've shot maybe two magazines. A guy at the range had one. I don't know, gosh, a few months ago, I guess. And I put like a magazine, maybe two magazines through it all together, and it shot fine. But I'm not a big 22 guy, much less a 22 handgun guy. I really am not a 22 handgun guy. That's just me.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot of experience there to put up against. So it was fine. It was pretty accurate. It felt good in the hand, but yeah, I don't have enough to compare to other 22 handguns.
Budget said he's got some stuff, I think. He said on the he said his is most accurate with Remington Thunderbolt. So yeah. Warsaw, the thoughts on the Benelli or the CZ when it comes to shotgun. If you're talking about going with a pump, then you're talking about a Benelli Nova, not a fan, even though I do have one. And with CZ, I am not up to speed on their shotguns enough, in the pump category to say anything about that. If you bump into over under, which is obviously a sporting shotgun, something I'm sure you're not looking at, CZ is going to be a little bit cheaper. Benelli is going to be for the more serious sportsman. If you're going semi-auto again, Benelli considerably more expensive. But a CZ and a semi-auto shotgun, a CZ is going to be a really good bargain for the money for sure. Benelli, I'm not going to knock Benelli and say the quality's not there or anything else. There's a reason that when you say shotgun, Benelli is one of the first companies people think of. But CZ does build some really good shotguns. And again, Benelli on the cheap end with the, and I don't even know if they make the Nova anymore. And I think the Supernova maybe is the 3-inch or the 3.5-inch chamber. But either way, I've got a Nova, and it's not the greatest, man. It's not that refined. It'll kick the absolute dog crap out of you. It just does not manage recoil well.
A lot of the guys around here, once again, I'm not a big shotgun guy, but I can tell you what most of the guys out here, not just for trap, but most of the guys out here are running Benellis or Berettas. They're both pretty expensive, but that's what most of the guys around here go with, Benellis or Berettas.
Now, the Beretta
makes some beautiful shotguns. I don't know Beretta, if they're good or not. They're beautiful.
Beretta's got some nice ones. You know, I think that was year before last at SHOT Show Range Day where we shot those Benellis.
Yeah.
We were
behind the food trucks, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think so. But anyway, we were ringing still at what, 50 yards or something with slugs on those things, man. They were pretty nice shotguns.
Yeah.
So yeah, are we caught up? Let's give a patch away. What do we think? We're a little over halfway through tonight. So if everybody's ready for this, if you're in the game, if you want this, it's going to be trivia. So hopefully you have watched the videos on the channel. I'm going to go here into the private chat and I'm going to make sure that's a private chat that I'm putting out there publicly. But anyway, released a video here a while back, a top five video, Sean Connery movies. Top five guns in Sean Connery movies. Give me the number two. What was number two on the list? Number two on the list from the video on the Sean Connery movie guns. And the winner will get the Baby Yoda AK there. So, yeah, while that's going on and people are probably bailing out of the chat to go look up the answer.
Nighthawk says Revolver, right. Not the Beatles album. We're not looking for a Beatles album. But
Fist Dad said we have a TX-22. Definitely get at least a better front sight. Like a lot of Taurus handguns, front sights barely dim. We got a fiber optic on it, he said, for his daughters. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. I know Tandem Cross makes now several things for the TX-22. And I'm thinking of, I think the front sight or sights is one of the things they make for that. And you can't go wrong with any of the upgrades from Tandem Cross for sure. For sure. So we got Lover 2 and Webley and Author PPQ. Nope.
Here we go. There we go.
Did we get one? I'm not watching the YouTube side.
Honcho
Fett. There it is. The Browning B2000. That is it. And yeah, the movie was Outland. If nobody has seen that, wonderful, great, nostalgic Sean Connery. Go watch it. And that is definitely an NFA item that they have in that movie. As they saw down, interestingly enough, Browning did not make that B2000 for very long. So to see one chopped down like that and NFA'd is kind of makes me cringe a little bit as a FUD. Cause I'm like, man, they took a really nice shotgun that they didn't make for very long and bubbed it all up, man. They butchered it up. But
people out there are saying the PPQ, but I think it was the PPK was number one, correct?
The PPK was number one.
Yeah, the 32 ACP. That's what James, that's
or,
what.
Or 380 if you're looking at the current production. Yeah.
But back then it was the 32.
It was the 32, yeah. Yeah, they don't make the 32 anymore, unfortunately.
You know, I think I remember hearing maybe G, someone said that yesterday was also the birthday for Walther. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. Walther? That's true. Yeah. Walther and somebody else. And I can't remember who it was, but it was definitely Walther.
Yeah.
Carl Walther. Yep.
Carl Walther.
Yep. DJ Play Nice says that Outland was a great friend. So congrats to Honcho Fett. Honcho, you got to, I know he's got my email. Send me your address. I've got to get
some stuff. He's not far from you, is he?
Got to get some stuff in the mail. Yeah, he's a couple of hours plus north. Yeah.
That's not too far. And Texas, a couple hours isn't too far.
Right. So we got a coyote question out there, it looks like. Iron Horseman says, okay, let me try this again. So I don't know if he tried it up in the chat somewhere and I didn't see it. My apologies. I'm on the duck side of things here. And so it's not
Stoner was the other one. Yeah, that's right. Stoner.
Stoner. Yep. Stoner. Yep. Yep. And, it's not highlighting my name when I'm over here, but, where was it at?
He wants to know, is 7mm 08 too much for coyotes?
Nope. I mean, some people will probably tell you yes, but, nah, I mean, it depends on what you want to do. 50 BMG is not too much for coyotes if you want to buy the ammo. It'll get the job done, right? So why not? But
video, actually.
7mm 08 is a great round. It's a great round. It is one that you don't hear very often. It does not get a lot of love.
Huh? I've never shot it. I've never shot a 7mm 08.
It's a great round, man. It's similar to a 243, I guess.
Okay.
In a way, maybe even a little better than a 243.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to figure out. I don't own one, but I've shot several. They're really popular around here. So,
yeah.
Honcho, what are they? Oh, they're picking on. They're picking on Honcho out there. Yeah, I don't have many of these left. I think I've got maybe one or two. Y'all will see some giveaways in the future, I'm sure. I'll hold one back for the,
we know you're holding one back for yourself. So we know that.
Yeah. Actually, I ended up buying a, We gave the patch away, and now everybody leaves. So that figures. We're going to save that. We're going to save that for the last 5 minutes from now. But
especially was a patch like that.
Yeah, I bought a patch panel from Gear Websites actually earlier. I was going through. Now get this. I got three of the patch batches, right? And so I was going through my patch batches, and I can't find one. The whole set. It's like I'm missing an entire set. I don't even know where it's at. I looked everywhere. And one of the sets, I'm missing the gun tube patch out of it. So I don't, the crap's around here in a box somewhere, but I don't know where. I'm going to have to find it. But I need a patch panel because, I've definitely got more than enough patches.
I got two of them, but in one of them, I got two gun twos, but did not get KDs.
Didn't get KDs. Truth, yeah.
If you want a gun two patch, I'll send you one.
Right.
Just to have it full, so you have a full series. I got two of them.
I'll find it. It's here. I haven't given it away. I don't remember giving an individual patch or a whole set away. Now I'm eventually going to give a whole set away. That's why. Sure. Picked up extra sets, but DJ says Eugene Stoner, the only challenger to Kalashnikov.
I don't know if I could. I mean, if I could argue that. I mean, we're talking about the M14. You know, I mean, you're talking about the guy that designed the AR platform, if you want to call it that. I mean, I don't think that anyone, as far as rifles and battle rifles, war rifles, whatever you want to call them, I don't think that anyone in the world that knows what they're talking about will put anyone above Kalashnikov. I don't think there's anyone that could. The Kalashnikov, he set the bar. The reason why Stoner created the M14 was the first one that really came out to the military was to be the American answer to the AK. So, yeah, I mean, Kalashnikov was amazing. Stoner is up there as far as design genius. I mean, yeah, he's the only one that's probably pushing him, but I don't think it's anywhere close to Kalashnikov. You know?
Right. You know, Harstall out there is talking about Czech-made, U.S.-made gun, CZ, what he's going for. I will say this about shotguns. If you're a U.S.-made only, your options on shotguns are extremely limited.
G23 says he's still waiting from SHOT Show. Did I not send you a patch? I guess I was supposed to send G23. Man, you don't understand how
follow up, man. Get
for stuff. Right. Yeah. Send me an email tomorrow and I'll send you one out. I probably just forgot. But I apologize. Yeah,
Medic says he's always seen John Browning as a much more intelligent and innovative designer. He made a lot of long running designs. Stoner and Kalashnikov are one trick ponies. Yeah, I mean, I don't put them in the same. I mean,
different categories for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Stoner, Kalashnikov was more of the military type. Right. And Browning was more of the, more of the mind, innovative mind, I think. Kalashnikov was like, here's the design and here's a bunch of different tweaks to that design. And whereas Browning was like, here is multiple types of patents, you know, a little bit different thing. It's kind of like we were having a conversation earlier about Henry. So when you talk about Henry, when you talk about Colt, when you talk about Browning, Garand for that matter.
And I think he's out of him. Yeah.
By the way, if you're not familiar with that, we were talking about the patch we gave away from Gear Websites. Not sure if they have the Firearm Inventor playing cards, but those are pretty cool for picking up and learning about all the different inventors that's out there. There is a slew of them. All great minds, for sure.
Warsaw asked me if the Marines are still using the M27. As far as I know, it is not the same thing as the HK416. It is based off of the 416, but it is not the same. Two different weapon systems, very, very, very similar, but two slightly different weapon systems. But to my knowledge, obviously I haven't been in it for a long time, But I do believe the 27 is still in the arsenal for sure.
Honcho says, yeah, we need to put together another 2A patch batch with all the YouTube 2A friends. Yeah. I'm down. We definitely have a little bit of experience in doing that with G-Webs helping out and doing some for the last several years. I will tell you now, there's a lot required with that. G-Webs kind of does a lot. He does all of the grunt work, put it that way. I know he's very appreciative of the people that's involved and the promotion we do and the help with designs and other things. But, man, as far as keeping track of all that, getting it ordered, getting it in, shipping it out, all the other stuff, there's a lot of work involved in that. So, I'm not nominating Honcho for that job if it happens. Just saying.
I'm along for the ride, but yeah, I have got no.
Right.
Now, Warsaw's talking about the Scar, and he's talking about the Bren. If you're looking for a really, really good piston driven AR that's going to be much, much less than a Scar or a Bren, look over at Adams Arms. I shot their stuff at Range Day last couple of years, and they're a piston-driven AR platform, and they're really, really good. And they're still going to be expensive, but they're not going to be the same level as a Scar. It's probably going to be about $400 cheaper than a Scar. But if you're going to get a Scar, then hell yeah, I'm in. You know, I love Scars. But yeah, but yeah, Adams Arms makes a really good piston-driven AR platform as well. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Medic out there, he says he needs to have some patches made. Who's the person we use for that? He's get with G-Webs. You can. Alan Anchor. Or
is that Alan Anchor? Like A-L-L-E-N, Alan Anchor?
Yeah, Owl. O-W-L. And then Anchor like you drop from a boat. Owl like the bird, Anchor like you drop from a boat. But yeah, you could check with them. I use for all of the ones I've done myself, not through the patch batch. I've used Neo Tactical. Neo, like, you know, from the Matrix, Neo Tactical.
I've used wholesale patches. They do pretty good. Wholesale patch. You can get pretty decent pricing at the 50 patch level. But yeah. I've used a couple different times wholesale patches.
Yep. And that's the thing. I mean, you got to jump into, you know, you're going to break off some money because to get any kind of decent price break on it. So be prepared to go $300 to $400 probably, you know, on your first order. Because you'll have a
fees and all that stuff.
Yeah. You'll have a setup fee, and that setup fee is good for, you know, a certain amount of years, or maybe even forever, depending on the company. But, yeah, you'll have a setup fee up front for that first order and all of that. That all plays into the price of the price of the patches in the end. Poncho Pet says battle rifles. I'm not sure. Guess he was trying to start a fight because this was also an argument with battle rifles, because they were talking battle rifles, and I know you call yours back there the battle rifle.
That's my battle rifle.
Yeah. And I take umbrage with that because that is not a battle rifle. It does not utilize nearly a big enough cartridge. It does not count. But yeah, there was some live
stream. A battle rifle having to do with the cartridge. I think a battle rifle, a true battle rifles, you've got selective fire, full auto, and all that. But the civilian, absolutely. 5.56, if it works for the Marine Corps, it can work for me. So it's a battle rifle.
yeah, Hacho says SCAR, ACR, HKG 3, MK14, FAL. Yeah, if you look up battle rifle on the list of battle rifles, I think like half of them are FALs. So the right arm of the free world will always be, when I hear battle rifle.
Most of them are made by FN. A lot of great battle rifles are made by FN.
Yeah.
All the 240 series for the Marine Corps are all FN. So,
but, you know, even when you go back further, you know, you talk about battle rifles, you're talking about the Mosins technically could be considered a battle rifle. You're talking about the British 303. You're talking about the, you know, battle rifle doesn't necessarily mean, you said select fire and all that. Not necessarily, depending on the era.
For modern rifles, what I consider, I call this my battle rifle because it's set up a lot like my battle rifle was.
Right.
But I would say that, you know, for me, for modern stuff, yeah, I mean, select fire, full auto, I mean, stuff that you're going to get and see in the military are battle rifles.
Right.
Like you said, World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, M1 Garand, battle rifle. You know, yeah. They, you know, you're yeah. talking about, depending, like you said, depending on the time, those were the high tech rifles of the time, you know?
Yep. Yeah. A lot of good ones out there.
We got Ed said the 10/22 isn't a battle rifle. I feel triggered.
Depends on the battle, I suppose. You know, are we going off the predefined definition of battle rifle, or are we going on a modern interpretation or a civilian interpretation, or, you know, depends. I mean, I guess so. I guess you could, you know, if your battle is other competitors in a steel challenge match, then that would be your battle rifle, I suppose. Absolutely. Right?
Yep. You can call anything a battle rifle in the right context.
Oh,
no
yeah.
doubt about it. No yep. doubt
about it. Yep. Ah, man. So we missed anything out there. You guys didn't send us down too many rabbit holes. We didn't get off into the crazy weeds on weird stuff, and I'm sort of disappointed.
They don't hear our phone conversations. We get talking about some weird stuff on the phone. So
we've got Defense Dad was talking about Thanksgiving, so that's what we could transition here in the next few minutes over to some Thanksgiving, and just curious what all you guys have planned. We've got to go to the youngest daughter's Thanksgiving Day, then I got to go to my sister-in-law's Saturday. And so I've got turkeys to smoke, and I've got pies to bake, and I've got things to do. So
mini pies,
mini pies. Oh yeah. 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 Mini pies. Definitely. And so I'm going to try to knock a video out tomorrow, but I don't know that you'll get one till next week, the week after Thanksgiving, after that, because I'm going to be pretty doggone busy with stuff. And Saturday is customer appreciation day. The Saturday after Black Friday at my local gun shop is always customer appreciation day. So
here, I don't know if it's everywhere, but here we have Black Friday, then you have Small Business Saturday, and then Cyber Monday. But Sunday is always been a Small Business Saturday. So a lot of people are doing stuff on Saturday.
Yeah. So I expect them to have lunch every Saturday at the local gun shop, but you know, I expect them to have some good, you know, they're probably going to have brisket, pulled pork, you know, won't just be hot dogs and sausage and boudin. There's
nothing wrong with hot dogs.
Nothing wrong with that at all, man. Off the grill, there's nothing, but you know, they break out the customer appreciation Saturday with the brisket sandwiches and stuff. I'm down.
So hungry right now.
G23 is asking, how do you deep fry ham inside of a turkey? That's a good one. I don't know about that.
I'm sure you can.
TJ says deep fried turkeys, oysters on the half, and wings. So that's pretty good. Not bad at all. My daughter's
working Thanksgiving Day, so it'll just be us. I'm the only one that likes turkey. So this year we usually do turkey and a ham. This year my wife wants to do rotisserie chicken, something new, kind of cool. So we're going to do rotisserie chicken, and then I got me a little thing of ham just for me. But then we're going to do green bean casserole, hash brown casserole, and we'll probably end up doing some sort of dessert with rolls, dinner, you know, hot dinner rolls, all that stuff. You can't go wrong with that.
It's
going to be a cheat day for sure.
It's good. That's exactly what I was.
Cheat week almost.
It's good. Yeah. That's what I was fixing to say. I am pretty much in the maintenance phase where I want to be. So this is really gonna. This is really gonna be a test of how much can I get away with.
Yeah, I'm down to 170, which is kind of, you know, you and I have talked that 170 is where I'd like to be with my build. You know, maybe 167, 168, but I mean, I'm at 170 last week. So I've lost 30 pounds. So I'm happy, like I said, and I know I can maintain the 170s. 170, I know that at 170, I can give myself about 50 carbs a day and really be perfect. But the next week is going to be tough because I really enjoy Thanksgiving food. That's why I'll make a big thing of green bean casserole and a big thing of hash brown casserole. And I might be done with it by Saturday, but you technically should have enough for a week of leftovers, but right. It never makes it that far. I love it.
Yeah, no, it definitely won't. And I mean, thankfully, I'll have that on Thursday.
Yep.
And then gun shop on Saturday, and then Saturday evening at the sister-in-law. So it'll be all there jam-packed for a few days. Hopefully not being here at the house, that's going to be a benefit to me. Because I cannot bring leftovers home. And so maybe get by, because in another month we've got Christmas, right? It's right around the corner. So it's harder to do it all over again. And
we do, I think, a pot roast for Christmas. We do it on a pot roast typically.
Yeah. So something
in a ham.
Right. I mean? Yeah. Something different. Sure. So yeah, with that. Let's get the heck out of here on a Monday, because I know we've all got better things to do than hang around here. Congrats to Honcho, won the Baby Yoda. I still love this patch. Every time I look at it, I have to smile. How can you not smile looking at Baby Yoda? I mean, come on. But anyway, if you're not watching The Mandalorian, go watch it, especially if you like Westerns.
Yes.
If you like Westerns and sci-fi, it's right up your alley, even if you hate Star Wars. It's awesome. And yeah, this last episode was hilarious with some of the Baby Yoda stuff. So,
and the fact that Honcho wins the Baby Yoda, I mean, that's like the
right,
it couldn't have gone to like a perfect person,
right? It was almost rigged,
almost rigged.
So, that what you got before we get out of here, Ghost? Anything?
Nothing at all. Enjoy your time with your families and loved ones, and please remember that not everyone can be home for the holidays. So I'm not saying that get depressed and all that, but have in the back of your mind the men and women that are overseas right now that could not make it home because they're out there defending the flag for us. So maybe when you're doing a toast, just remember those guys and gals and all of that. I'm putting together with some friends of ours, putting together about 20-25 care packages we're going to send out next week.
Nice.
For Christmas, make sure they get there. But yeah, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends. I'm going to go spend some time on the range Thursday a little bit. I'm off of work that day. So I'll probably be able to find something to shoot out there and put a video together for this weekend. Can't guarantee it. But yeah, have fun. Enjoy your family and just be thankful. I'm thankful, and I'll say this tomorrow night on ours, but I'm thankful for Clover. I'm thankful for all my friends out there and family, thankful for all the viewers. But yeah, thanks for just always kind of being there. And I'm sure I don't speak, but I do speak for Clover. I'm sure he'll say same thing. But it's been a great year. It's been a weird year, but in some aspects, it's been a great year. So.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. And, thanks for having me, bud. Yeah, you bet. Always fun. And again, said it earlier, I'll say it again in case somebody came in late. Gonna try to get something out, and my camera's gonna screw up here at the end, but that's okay. I'll try to get something released tomorrow. The Nerd Chat Thursday, that's Thanksgiving. I will be out of town, ain't gonna happen. Might go live at the Bucky's or something. Maybe we'll come up with a little something going on Thanksgiving. I don't know. Try to fill that gap that is normally the Nerd Chat, give you at least something. But don't look for anything. Don't expect anything after this show until next week on Monday. So that's it. We're gone. Peace.